If y'all will, don't turn in your Bibles to John 21, 15 through 17. I'm not preaching on that today. I'm going to wait till next week. Somebody encouraged me to speak on the subject that I spoke on in one of the workshops at annual conference. Now, they weren't telling me what to preach. They just appreciated what I had to say and thought it would be good. So I determined that I would do that this day. So next week I'll finish up the first words of Jesus after the resurrection, which is also on Mother's Day. If you would, just turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, for the children that are going to the children's church, you can leave as I read this. Genesis chapter 3 and verses 8 through 10. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid." The word of the Lord for the people of God. It sounded terrible, folks. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Man, that's better. All right. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be for his word. I want to talk to you a little bit about prayer today and the intimacy of prayer. Here in this story concerning Adam, we see that he walked with the Lord, in the sense that they hid from God this time because something was different. But they walked with the Lord. And God walked with man. And God seeks and desires to walk with us. And prayer is that for us in walking with the Lord. Have you ever met someone that kind of invaded your space somewhat? You know, you're standing and they come up, And they're like this far from you. And I'm not talking that they're mad at you or anything. They're just excited to see you and want to tell you something or share something with you. And they get right up in your face and they're just talking and conversing with you. And you can smell their breath. It doesn't necessarily have to be bad, but you can smell their breath. And I had that happen to me on a couple occasions, on one particular occasion many years ago. And, I just needed a little more separation. And so I did the step back and step to the side, kind of get to their shoulder a little bit, but still talk. Guess what they did? They turned, shifted, and moved to the same spot. So I just kind of gradually did this again, listening intently. And what did they do? Right there. Come on, give me a break. I think we went in a complete circle by the time it was over with. And I was just kept trying to get a little, it was still close enough like this, but it was really close when it was like this. God wants us to be close to him, doesn't he? To be intimate with him. Intimacy just means closeness, folks. It just means closeness. It means, like in this scripture, walking with God. There's another part of scripture which says that Noah was a righteous man and he walked with God. Who walked with God? Prayer should be like that. It should be something in which we walk with God. The walk to Emmaus, the scripture after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Two disciples had left Jerusalem because they just knew Jesus was dead and everything was hopeless, and so they're going back home. And Jesus was there walking with them, because that's what God wants to do. He wants to walk with us. We don't want to hear God call out to us, "Where are you?" Because we haven't prayed. Because we haven't sought to be close to God. We want to be present where God knows we're there, and He calls us by name, and we're there listening to the direction of God through prayer, that there's a closeness to being obedient unto the Lord. What happens in the story with Adam is just this. Adam eats of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. What is amazing about that? That's the only thing that God said, do not eat. Do not eat from this one tree. Now, there had to be an abundance of acreage of all kinds of trees and fruit and all kinds of things that they could eat, including what is told to us that the tree of life is present. But they do not partake of that. Instead, at some point, they chose to be disobedient to God's holy word. Disobedient to God's holy word. That's brought on the curse of sin and death. That brought on to the point where God had to say to Adam and Eve, because they were hiding, "Where are you?" Jesus is the tree of life who seeks to bring us back to that connection. And that example of walking on the road to Emmaus, that town, is an example of God choosing to walk with His servants once again, fulfilling what He has accomplished on the cross and in the day of resurrection. You see, what happened to Jesus, or what happened in the temple on the day Jesus died? What happened there? Well, we know the sun refused to shine for those several hours. I don't know if that meant that there was a, you know, one of those darkening of the sun where the moon gets in the way, you know.
Eclipse,
thank you. Escape me for a moment. You see, yes. Age? No. But anyways, whether it was one of those eclipses or whether God just caused it just to, you know, to be hidden, to be dark. Because without God, there is no light or life or love. Only through the presence of God and His will do these things even exist. Are they even brought into being? And so, what happened there in the temple is the curtain that divided the Holy of Holies between God and the high priest and the rest of man was torn in two. Now, was it torn in the direction in which it was torn in two is important here. It was torn in two from top to bottom, right? From top to bottom. This means that God said there was nothing that separates me from you or you from me anymore. Prayer is our intimacy with God. Prayer is our walking with God. Look at all of Scripture. Prayer isn't just in the Psalms. Prayer is all throughout the Scriptures. Look at Abraham and Isaac. Abraham who is told by God to sacrifice his son on an altar on top of a mountain. He goes and the son asks him, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham only answers in this kind of prayer, a prayer of confidence, the Lord will provide. Think about David, King David. His son is dying. And King David just pleads with the Lord to save his son. He didn't get what he wanted. But he pleads with the Lord in prayer. And you can see all sorts of prayers in Psalms from many of the Psalms. Not all of them, but many of the Psalms that were written by David. You can see as well other prayers, just as Jesus gave us the example of the Lord's Prayer, that we, I hate to say it this way, but we recite, but we pray it really every Sunday morning. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a lot of richness in that prayer. We see that Jesus prayed at Gethsemane. He prayed even from the cross. At Gethsemane, his own disciples couldn't even stay awake with him. That was to show us an example that they could not accomplish what God was about to accomplish. And God has rent that division between us and him, that prohibition in which to reach out to the tree of life, it was taken away, has now been made accessible. God can be close to us, and we can be close to God once again through the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is what we do when we take of communion. It is about our getting close to God once again. Prayer is therefore vital for the Christian, for the church. We gather once a month in this place for prayer. Not just on Sunday mornings, I'm talking about, but a separate time. You're welcome to join us or form another prayer group in which to pray for the church, for people who are sick, to pray for the Global Methodist Church, to pray for lost souls, to pray to equip us to grow in faith and to mature in faith, to pray for words to be given to us to share with others, to pray confidence to be upon us. On and on it goes. To pray for our love to be grown even to greater depths. To pray that we can forgive those who have hurt us. I'd just probably just keep going. Things that come to my mind here of things that we can pray for. I had a friend in high school. I can't necessarily call him a friend today. I don't think we've talked since high school. Yeah. Well, I moved away, you know, but we weren't close by the time my senior year because he became very atheist tending and I was very much on the line of I follow God. One day we have a conversation about prayer in school in the hallway. Yes, we had a conversation about prayer in school. And he said this at a time when he was still considering faith. And maybe he has these days, I don't know. Maybe he's a full-on devout Christian, I mean, praise God if that's the case. But he said this, I don't pray with my eyes closed. I think people that pray with their eyes closed, they do so because they need to concentrate. Well, that kind of stuck with me. And I remember my response then was something like what I'm going to share with you now. It's like, prayer is about our being humble before God. Now, there's times where I come into this sanctuary and no one's here, and I'll just sing to the Lord. Singing is a way of praying. Now, my family say I sing too much because I'll sing in the car like I'm the only one there, and I'll just belt out songs, and they'll like, a little loud, you know. So it's better if I'm singing to the Lord while I'm the only one in the car. But prayer is about our being humble before the Lord. We can pray in a lounge chair. We can pray while we're driving. We can pray, at a funeral home. We can pray in church. We can pray at a baseball game. We can pray in school. We can pray anywhere. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the posture of prayer. Since God is talking about us walking with Him and we broke that obedience, one thing that I try to teach with the kids, especially like when we do a children's sermon and we pray in different places, when I'm doing this part, and I ask the kids, put your hands together. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. All prayer is like this, whether your eyes are open, whether your hands are on a steering wheel, whether you're reclining in a lounge chair, all prayer should be like this, even though we might not display it physically, but from time to time, we just need to do this. Because putting our hands together is a sign of our pleading with God. Pleading, like David did in Scripture. Bowing our heads is a sign of obedience and humbleness. See, we're going away from when Adam was disobedient to we're claiming obedience unto God. And we humble ourselves before Him. And we close our eyes because to look upon the Lord and His righteousness, we only see our unrighteousness before the one who is truly perfect and righteous. We're as filthy rags, the Scripture says. And so we close our eyes. But God walks with us to bless us in that communion and prayer, that intimacy with prayer in which we are drawn close to God and listening to His will in our lives. So as we gather for communion today, let it be our focus that we're coming before Him pleading, that we're coming before Him with our eyes closed and humbled, that His righteousness covers our unrighteousness, and that we bow our heads to be obedient to the one who has offered Himself to us, to walk with us, to offer us salvation and the forgiveness of sin, now and forever. Amen. Jody, would you come and serve with me? This cup represents for us, this grape juice no longer is grape juice, but represents for us the blood of Jesus shed for us on the cross. This bread no longer is just bread to us, but it represents the sacrifice of the body of Jesus, come to us as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes who died on the cross. We partake of it in remembrance of Him who died for us. I offer now to you the forgiveness of sin. Will you offer as well the forgiveness of sin to me? Just nod. Body of Christ broken for you. Amen. And His blood shed for you.